and welcome to the Charmed Life podcast. This podcast is all about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe. And I am your host. My name is Trisha Carr. I'm feeling pulled to give you a little bit of an expansion on some of what I mean by the definition of this podcast and maybe a little bit about who I am. And that might be because I'm sensing that there are some new listeners here. So welcome and thank you so much. I feel you and I appreciate you. Or perhaps it's also that I'm tapping into some of those of you who may have listened before or listen regularly, and you just maybe open in your curious nature about some of those words that I'm using all the time. And so let me talk about that, and then I'm going to lead you into the amazing, beautiful, conscious conversation I have with my guest. And so this episode is a conversation episode, and this whole podcast often does have guests on, and sometimes I do solo episodes. And I love doing solo episodes and intend to add more. I have been, very recently, I have been recovering from COVID, and so getting out what I can get out, as I'm sure many can empathize, because you've probably been through a similar experience. At any rate, the time that I open this podcast and say that it's about magic, metaphysics, mysticism, and the unconditional love of the universe, I really mean that you are magic. You and your metaphysical nature is, you are here to express that as magic. And metaphysics is, the word actually gives you exactly its meaning. Meta means to be above and beyond or outside of, and physics, of course, is the physical nature. And so it does not negate the physical nature. It does not bypass what is happening physically. It stands outside of it, or it supersedes it and observes it, and also is inclusive of the physical nature. Metaphysics is a philosophy. It is the backbone for what a lot of people who would say they are spiritual but not religious, because metaphysics has no dogma, it has no shoulds, it has no tenets of faith, it has contemplations, it has observations, and it has just philosophy that we can allow to move through our form to help us to feel freer and to feel more powerful and to be more aligned with our divinity. Once again, as a philosophy, philosophies are akin to art. They sometimes use hyperbole. They often use metaphor, and they often are meant to challenge our current beliefs so that we can break free of any belief that is holding us prisoner. And then, as I say, mysticism. Mysticism, to me, is an art form. So while metaphysics is a philosophy that is similar to art, mysticism is an art form. Mysticism may bring in more characters or more anthropomorphizing of the universal energies. So with mysticism, you may have gods, goddesses, angels, interdimensionals, fairies, and devas. You may have other characters that represent egregore energy of entities. And whether this is real or if it is something that we are just experiencing as a metaphor or a myth, if it is helpful, it is helpful. And I think, why can't it be both? Perhaps there is Archangel Michael as a true divine entity that has partnered with source energy, with God energy, to help construct the architecture of the universe. And perhaps that's even too small. And so, in a sense, the energy that we call Michael is even greater than that. And so Michael does and does not truly exist. Because the greatness and the enormity of any aspect, any fractal of God energy, of source energy, cannot truly be contained. And yet when it is defined like a color, it is beautiful, and it is so much, it can't be contained with it. It can only be pointed to. And that's who you are as well. You are a mystical, divine being of light and humanity. You are nature and spirit. You are a paradox, and you are also a creation. You are a story. You are beauty. You are unfolding. And you are God in action. Without you, God doesn't exist. And this is what this podcast and all of my work is dedicated to, feeling that energy, that resonance, and allowing it to expand us so that we become ever more of what we truly are and contribute that to the universe. That's what this podcast is about, the conversations that I bring with guests into, or that they bring into the podcast, I should say, and also the any teachings that I bring here. And with that, I also want to invite you to check out my website and check out the offerings that I have. I have powerful coaching programs, powerful. And I don't say that in a manner that is arrogant. I say that with divine confidence. I say that with the gifts that I know that move through me to you, to the universe. And also, I say that for you, as you. I am reflecting you. I am amplifying you. It is true of you. You are here as a unique cosmological event, a once-in-a-lifetime journeyer. Even if you have many lives, only this one is here as the fractal, the unique color of God's one light. So thank you for bringing your energy here. I hope you feel that. I hope you can bring that into your body and allow it to move your energy, to change your cells and your DNA, and to turn off and on that which is beneficial to you, that you can alchemize it so that you can be the truest of the lights that you truly are. It's a lot of truths I just said, a lot of trueness. Okay. Oh, and then myself, I am a reflector. I'm a human, and my human design type is reflector. And this conversation that I have today is with a human design coach and teacher, and I kind of a reader. I'm going to read her bio in a moment. But she is, so that's very pertinent for this episode. It is very pertinent for my work and my life, as is your design, your unique design. Reflector is just one of the things that would describe who I am, but it also kind of encompasses all of the things that I am, or the things that I am becoming in every moment. And a reflector has all open centers, so absolutely everything that I do uses my entire energy, uses my literal physical body, everything that I do. And there's not really any true compartmentalizing for me. Everything is, I'm a very much all or nothing kind of being. And it really is all. Nothing is an illusion when I feel like I can check out of something. It's really that I can direct my intention to allow the desires of the universe to flow through me to the universe through my unique portal. However, whatever it is that I interact with, whatever it is that I cross paths with, whether literally, virtually, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, it utilizes my whole being. But my being is created for that. So it's really pretty awesome, because I essentially channel light, but I channel your light right now in this moment, even though we are not directly and literally interacting. Because you have come to this place, to this recording, we are interacting. And if you feel any inspiration, it's you. Because my whole purpose, my whole function, not even purpose, my function is resonance. Resonance means an amplification. And resonance means two energies coming together to become a third, more fantastic energy. And because I'm an amplifier, I am a mirror and an amplifier, anything positive or resonant that you feel in this is you, is your beauty. So thank you for bringing your beauty, your light to this space. Okay, now let's talk about this conversation that I'm bringing for you. This episode features a conversation with Christy Avis, human design and energetic alignment business coach. Christy's bio says, "Hey gorgeous, I'm Christy Avis, 5-1 manifesting generator, Leo, human design and energetic alignment business coach. I stand for energetics and strategy, human ascension and enjoying being human, deep impact and making fuck tons of money. I help my clients be their design, human design taught in a way where you become the living embodiment of alignment instead of concepts you intellectualize. A space where we create coherence and frequency you emit with the frequency of your desires. A space where we own the frequency of being that bitch, where you no longer subscribe to the paradigms of hustle, working your way up, playing with logic and time. A frequency where life, love, money, and business expansion all exist in the now moment. I stand for women living lives that are so full, so happy, and so in tune with themselves that everything else is just a bonus. She didn't write the snap. I added that. I felt I was channeling her, and I felt like there was a snap or a something. So that is Christy's bio that she submitted for this podcast. It's in first person, and I love it, and I wanted to channel her voice through it. So without any more delay, I welcome you to this high vibe, highly attuning, manifesting, generating, light quotient, quantum energy conversation with Christy Avis. And I will chat with you on the other side. Christy, I'm so excited to connect with you. Oh, you are just so full of passion and love. And I just can't wait to dig into this conscious expanding conversation with you so everyone else can experience your light too. Or if you've already found Christy Avis on Instagram, good for you. And here we go with a wonderful journey into her soul and her work. So would you please get everyone into your light? Let us know what's your journey been like? Or what work are you doing? What are you experiencing? I know you have a powerful, beautiful business, but the spiritual journey and the work, I want to hear about all of it, wherever you want to start.
Oh my gosh, amazing. And I am so, 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 so grateful to be here. So thank you for having me. And yeah, this has been quite the journey. I'm so deeply connected to my purpose and business now, but there was a point in time where I was not very connected to it. I used to be a virtual assistant. That was kind of how I started my business. And it changed into human design, energetics, and business strategy as I experienced the gifts that the universe gives us through contrast, through burnout, through health issues, and things like that. And I was in this space of really desiring more for my life. I had always been that person who desired more. Like, I had an incredible corporate job and was getting paid what people who are twice my age would be so, so excited to receive. Like, I'm 26 years old right now. And even at that 23-year-old space, I was like, I want more for my life. And so I created a VA business and I was loving it. And also I was burnt out and I was working like 16-hour days. And it was kind of just the universe kept giving me breadcrumbs along the path of alignment. And I found human design. And that was when everything really, really started to change in my life. I was like, whoa, I don't have to overthink everything. There's a way for me to work with energy instead of overcompensating in my 3D reality, trying to get everything to work, right? And so I started working with this energy and it's just led me up until this point. And it's been such a process of growth, such a process of power portals being given from the universe for me to learn how to work through burnout, how to actually trust myself, how to actually trust my intuition. And it's been such a beautiful gift because I experienced so much contrast early in my life and in the earlier years of my business. So now I'm able to bring that level of contrast to my clients and go, hey, we get to skip the hard part, right? And find that deeper alignment.
So you're a manifesting generator. And I'm like, I want to hear all about the man-gen burnout because we hear non-energy types over here looking at the one, all of them, because the manifesting generators, you just have that throat motor center and the sacral. You have, you know, you have so much power and you can burn out. We over here, you know, on the non-energy side, assume that you don't burn out. But I have, obviously, I have manifesting generator clients and friends. My friends that I know, when they burn out, their cycle does tend to be slow, be a faster bounce back. But I'm wondering, and so maybe that's part of it, is that you can bounce back faster. However, if you keep using your energy wrong, that's basically
the generator, if you're not using it correctly, it's not going to work for you. But I want to hear your perspective. Totally. Tell me about the manifesting generator burnout. How does this work?
Totally. Yeah. And
you get it too. What?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And it's something that I've seen for all human design types. Yeah. And it's just that subtle misalignment really, really does take a toll. So within being generators and manifesting generators, part of the thing is we have this defined sacral, but a lot of us aren't using it in alignment. We feel that energy bubbling through our system, and we're so deeply conditioned by society to apply that to shoulds, have tos, pressure, force. We're literally taught to overcompensate in the 3D reality. And what happens is this motor is generative and degenerative. And what we don't realize is that when we're running on shoulds and have tos and pressure and force and fear, we're misaligned. And what starts to happen is where it's like putting the wrong type of gas into your car. It'll work for a minute. And then all of a sudden it's like thing after thing after thing after thing, you're crashing and burning, your magnetism's off. And it's such a deep cycle. And the reason why I think generator and manifesting generator burnout is so severe and prominent in society is because we feel the energy and then we go, well, I should. You know, I have the energy. Why is this draining me? And there's so much, I'm just going to get this thing over with. It's going to feel good someday. And that literally just drains us to the core.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that comes down to every single type experiences that in their way, because if we're out of alignment with how we're resourcing, you know, then it's going to poison us. It's going to poison our energy field. I mean, a projector, an energy projector, one who has one or more motor centers has a fall. It has two things there. They could use their energy incorrectly, and then they could use it too much because they have a sense of the energy and they think I should use it. Like, you know, other manifesting generators and generators, that kind of pressure.
Totally. Yeah. And my partner is an energy projector. And it's one of those things where he has to be really careful about, am I utilizing my energy in the correct way? Am I trying to force and push based on what other people are doing? And 100%, it's like, no matter what human design type you are, if you are forcing, pushing, and overcompensating in your 3D reality and not backed by the energy of being in alignment, your aura is collapsed, right? And our aura is the thing that calls in the inspiration, the alignment, all of the opportunities, all of the path of least resistant things that are meant to be on our path. But so many of us will hit that point of burnout because we feel like we've got the weight of the world on our shoulders, like it's all up to us. And if we believe it's all up to us and we got to force and push and make it happen, we're not backed by the energy of an expanded aura in alignment.
I call that going rogue when we you get it. Yeah. For those listening, if you've never heard that phrase, going rogue, it's like if you're supposed to be on a team, but then you kind of do your own thing and you don't cooperate with the team and you try to like go out on your own, then you're going rogue from the team. And that's if we are, like you're saying, if we're shooting ourselves and we're not in, I mean, alignment really means plugged into the field. If we're trying to force and push the field, or if we're trying to do it on our own, then even as a manifesting generator, that energy is going to run out because you aren't plugged into source. So that makes so much sense.
Yeah. And I've seen it for people who have all of their motors defined, all of the energy, and they're like, why am I burnt out? And I'm like, where are you saying yes to no's? That's not just a gen, any gen thing. That's an all human design types thing, is where are you energetically and in your 3D reality saying yes to something that isn't aligned for you? And a lot of us are doing that based on overthinking, based on being in the ego, based on playing from fear, right?
And we will be right back.
Hello, my friend, it's Trisha Carr. I'm here to invite you to my coaching and mentoring portal, Modern Mystic Life. This high value, easy access portal is like having a spiritual mentor right in your pocket. You'll receive all the inspiration right there in your text messenger, and you can also access it on your desktop. I will be delivering the tools and technology that are proven to evolve your abundant life inside and out. You will receive daily inspiration, education, and practices to help you evolve your life as a mystic and a human spiritual being. Plus, you will have access to my monthly workshops in which I teach and channel cutting-edge spiritual content, and also will give guidance, intuitive readings, and attunements right there in our group setting. I worked with Spirit to co-create and manifest the best way to support you and in the easiest fashion, and here it is. I'm very excited to co-create with you too. So, welcome, my friend, to your modern mystic life. Hi, friend, it's Trisha Carr with an invitation for you. If you are ready to accelerate your ascension and connect to the swift flow of your life mission, Mind Body Ascension Acceleration Coaching. All of my clinical training, my experience from teaching and providing countless sessions and classes, one-on-one, group coaching, healing, reading, teaching, channeling, as well as my calibration as a human design reflector, I'm offering all of this to you to step up your entire life, to accelerate your ascension walk. If you've had a single session with me, if you've had coaching, or if you've experienced transformation from any of my offerings, my classes, podcasts, videos, well, this is an accelerated and exponentially charged. This is what my soul has prepared for an eternity and up to now. And if you hear this call, then this is also co-created with your soul. Your life is meant to be joy first and a service as a close and integrated second. Let me tell you some of the results that you can expect from going through a mind-body ascension accelerator. Confidence and clarity that you are living your spiritual mission. Mastery over the mind, utilizing it as a tool to create your life. And also an upgraded nervous system. Improved physical well-being, body composition improvement, reduction of inflammation and or chronic issues, improved relationships, an understanding of who you are in partnership and of powerful tools to design fantastic partnerships, healing of past pain and trauma and skills to continue to self-heal, excitement about and empowerment in your personal spiritual practice, and a map to continue to walk your ascension path and to overflow to serve others. This coaching is especially tuned for high achievers who want to accelerate their progress on their life mission and create mind-body well-being and higher attunement. Submit to work with me in this powerful container, this premium coaching. If you feel the call, you can do it. I guide, you take action. I hold the resonant projection field, channel your steps, and you take action. The first action step is to fill out an application, the link to which you will find in the description. Be prepared, be ready to upgrade your mind-body ascension and your connection and flow with your spiritual mission. And now back to the show.
We were just joking before we hit record. This is a hard time we picked, y'all.
It is.
I can turn right into a generator. I could turn right into a projector bitterness frequency. If you know what I mean? Like my husband is also an energy projector. And if you say, well, are you shooting here or there? And he's like, I mean, how do we pay the mortgage then if I don't should? You know what I mean? The bitterness steps right in because it's the awareness of the reality.
But 100%. Yeah, but
working with it, but hopefully, ideally, we are more internally aligned, then the aura is more magnetic, and then our unique response finds us. It's not easy though, right? It's tough times sometimes.
Yeah. And I gotta say, like, we are literally on the forefront of a movement, and I literally just ran a projector program, and this applies to the projectors in the program, but it also applies to all human design types, is like, we are leading a paradigm, right? Because the old paradigm was being led by logic, was being led by your mind, was being led by overcompensating in your 3D reality, hustle, force, make it happen, just do it energy. And we are literally in the biggest shift like that has ever happened in terms of moving from mind consciousness and mind intelligence into body intelligence. So no matter what, in order for you to embrace your human design and actually embody it, you're leading a paradigm, right? And that is, that's a high calling to lead a new paradigm, because you can't look to old paradigms for validation that this new paradigm is going to work. And so the work that we are doing here in this time is brave.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, for those who are not too familiar with human design, there's actually a, it's kind of a prophecy, but it's not really a prophecy. It's just a cosmological event that is in 2027, we are changing our background frequency. Collectively, the whole planet, we shift our incarnation cross, which is, incarnation cross is, it's like the theme, right? Is that what it is? It's like, I forget how to describe it. It's basically like the play of your life or something,
yes,
right?
Exactly. It's like the story. It's the story time of the storyline of your life and really why you're here.
Mm-hmm. And so 2027, again, it's not really a prophecy. It's just literally a cosmological event. It's just happening. We're going to shift from one. And how long were we there? That was like in the 1700s that we were in the old incarnation cross, and we're moving to the new one in 2027.
Yeah. And what happens is our hand centers are going to activate, right? And so we're moving into a period of time where we're going to have a lot less non-emotional authorities. That's something that's already been happening that I've been seeing, is we're having a lot more emotional authorities born. We're starting to integrate that emotional piece. We're going to have our hand centers activated. So there's a lot of change upcoming. And what I've seen is within these big changes is it's going to take a moment to integrate, right? So even though all of these changes happen in 2027, the integration is going to happen over the years after that, depending on people's level of understanding, what they've already been embodying and integrating, and kind of just like elevating into that standard over time, right?
And I didn't realize that. So we are having, so again, I'll just, for people who may be new to human design, we have our 9 energy centers, and they're either defined or undefined. So if you have a defined emotional solar plexus center, then you are emotional authority. It actually trumps them all. Are you emotional authority?
No, I am not. I'm a sacral authority.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I love sacrals because I love the sounds that you make.
No, we're just like,
Yep. I was listening to a podcast last week, something not on human design, nothing at all, but the guest was definitely, every time the hosts would ask her a question, she'd go, yes. Oh, well, and then, so what I've really found about that is, she was in the middle of a sentence.
I am such an person as well.
That's awesome. But anyway, so emotional, I didn't realize that we were going to have fewer emotional open emotional centers born.
Yeah.
We're going to have more emotional defined.
Yeah.
Because I do know that what comes along with the shifting of the background frequency, I'll just call it that, is we're going to have a mutation to the emotional center. And so maybe that's why we need to have some definition as to kind of head that off. Is that what's going on?
That may be the case. Like, I'm not 100% sure everything that's going to be happening within it, but I do know that within more emotional authorities being defined, we're actually moving into less, it's a prompting of even deeper moving from less mental spaces, right? And so everything that's been happening in terms of the evolution of human design, we've been in this space of moving from mind intelligence to body intelligence. What this next level is it's body and emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. So it's the next level integration of really, really trusting ourselves. And this is moving really, really far out of Newtonian physics, where we talk about A plus B equals C, and into quantum physics, where it's the energy of here and now, here and now, here and now. And what is my body telling me? What is the emotional intelligence telling me from my body? And not defining that based on, causation, right? Because mm-hmm. Newtonian physics is very based in causation. Like, this thing happened, this is why. But when it comes to emotions, what we're starting to do is we're learning to honor that there's other pieces. And it's not just like, I'm sad because of XYZ, or I'm happy because of XYZ. But how can I get into a deep space of honoring that emotion and honoring that within others? Because there's going to be a next level intelligence born from that, and a next level sensitivity too, right? We're getting more sensitive to other people. We're getting more sensitive to the energies that we can and cannot see. And I really see this as a furthering of the human evolution, right?
Well, you know, that makes, because part of what this the shifting is that we're going from tribal based concept to individual based concept. But it feels, but as an upgrade, in order for us to be more individuated in our, you know, the way that we operate, it makes sense that sensitivity would need to be heightened, because then the boundaries are actually blurred a bit between. So it's not a selfish kind of individuation. It's actually a unified individuation and trusting of the self, and not inappropriately martyring oneself. You know what I mean? Like the way a shadow frequency of tribal would be, you know what I mean? So
100%. It's a middle balance. It's a middle balance of, like, as a complete individual, I don't work towards the whole and the goodness of everything. And it is very ego-based. And from a, I am one with everything and I am nothing, there is no furthering, because it's almost based on self-sacrifice and not honoring the massive miracle that each one of us is. And so what it is it's finding that middle balance between ego and complete selflessness, and it's serving oneself as part of the whole, as part of the collective, right? And this is such a beautiful, like, this is very related to the 19th gene key within
I have so many placements of it. Yeah. I have it in three places in my gene key hologenetic profile. I'm all 19.
Shocked. I'm 0% shocked. And I that's so funny that I brought that up, because we're moving out of that place of codependence, and we're really moving towards that, serving ourselves as individuals and finding God within ourselves. And that allows us to see it within others, which allows that human ascension process to really, really powerfully take place. And the 19th is causing that separation. Like, I'm 0% surprised that you have that so deeply within your heart.
Do you have it too in your gene key hologram?
Yes, I do.
Where do you have it?
I have it in my life's work.
Oh, that's cool. I love it. I have it, I forget. I have it in my vocation, SQ and EQ, I think. So
yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think so. Well, so I was going to ask if you're into gene keys too, right?
Yes, I am. And I use it more through the lens of human design, so those kinds of placements. Okay. But I have done some of the studies around the actual, like, gene key placements and things like that. And I'm pretty sure, like, my vocation is actually the fourth gene key, which is, like, forgiveness. So love that one.
That's awesome. I also have 55 is my pearl, which is the new human. So it's kind of like both of those, I feel them very strongly. But the 19th, I love, and everyone has all of the energies, you know, as a resource, because they're just human energies. But especially the 19th, the shadow frequency is codependency. The gift is sensitivity. And the city, which is the city, SIDDHI, means like divine gift, is a sacrifice, which sounds bad to the ear. But if you hear Richard Rudd describe it, he says it's more like interdependence. It's really like going codependence to independence to interdependence. And that's what we're kind of talking about here, I think.
It's literally exactly what we're talking about. We're moving from these extremes of, like, being codependent into independence. And I've seen that happening collectively, is that independence. And now it's bringing us back to interdependence, where we value ourselves as individuals, we value our unique gifts, our unique intuitions, and it serves the whole.
Yeah. And interdependence, the reason it, you know, sacrifices, the if you color it with the idea of interdependence, it's like if you're in a relationship and you give up something that is selfish so that you can benefit the whole relationship, and then you all obviously benefit from that. You know what I mean? Like, you stop having sex with other people because you want to be in a monogamous relationship. Yeah. That's actually beautiful. That's just a silly example, but that's the idea of sacrifice in that, in the lens of the city of the 19th gene key. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And sacrifice doesn't always have to be something that's like super like, oh, I feel like I'm putting myself out to get rid of this thing. It's just this energy of like, I understand my desires and the collective desires, and I find this really beautiful morphing and merging of those pieces. And it is kind of this balance that's like the aurora borealis, where it flows back and forth, you know.
You know what's great about, because some of the gene keys or some of the frequency bands, you know what I mean, like, for example, I can't remember which one it is right now, but maybe it is 55, where the shadow is victimization, the gift and city are both freedom, and you can't really work to it. You know what I mean? Like, it's you can't, and in a lot of these, you can't work. You have to just be through it. But I feel like 19 is a little, because with codependence, if you get a little learning, you can set boundaries. And you can, you know what I mean? Like if you're like, for example, if you want to get out of being codependent or maybe even in codependent narcissistic relationships, you can start setting boundaries when you recognize how you have subverted yourself for out of fear or out of a lack of self-worth. You can kind of start to even use actions, use behaviors. Of course, you have to align with them, but that can sort of start to shift your reality. So maybe there's a bit of a, that's kind of cool. You know what I mean? Like with boundaries and protecting your energy and valuing your energy, that might be a theme of what we're going through right now too, I'm thinking. What do you think about
that? Oh, 100%. Yeah. And it's interesting because when you think about like the gene keys and you think about contemplation, it is not something that can be forced, but within that awareness, there are actions you can take. And I totally see that deeper level of boundaries kind of protecting us from that self-sacrifice, that codependence that we've been playing into. And it's like, there are action steps we can take that cause our frequency to rise, where more light's going through our DNA, and we actually get to the point where that frequency is just so embodied that there no longer is a need for setting those boundaries, because it's just an energetic frequency we output. It's like we're raising the standard by our action, which raises the frequency, and then it's just all one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing. I am realizing that this is a huge theme. Of course, that's why you brought up 19, but codependency is kind of central to this, because one of the things we think about codependency is like, I don't know, we tend to think about it in the classic relationship of, say, like someone enabling an alcoholic or something like that. But one thing that's a little more insidious and subtle as a codependent behavior or trait is giving up your identity to something else. And that's the whole central theme here, right? As the manifesting generator shooting all over herself, you were being codependent with the world.
Literally. And I see most themes, I would challenge that to say every theme of misalignment is based in the shadow of codependency.
Because, I think so.
Exactly. It's just anytime we're misaligned, there's a reason why we're choosing that. We're outsourcing. Anytime we choose a misaligned path, it's an outsourcing of our power, which is innate to us, right? But sometimes to claim that, it's this energy that can be scary. And so what we do is we go to outside resource, we go to shoulds, to have to's, to coaches, to pressure, to force, whatever those things are, and place our energy in those things, because it's like this outputting of our fear, right?
Yeah, right. And it's seeking rescue.
Yeah.
But sadly, we're seeking rescue from our nuanced, beautiful, divine self. And that's not something that we need rescue from. We need to fall in love and fall under the spell even of our own divinity.
Totally.
Rather than abandon it.
100%. And it's just this energy of like, even within, and I think the shadow of codependency is so, so beautiful, because it always leads us back to ourselves, right? It's like, it's the step of misalignment to alignment. We need misalignment to become more aligned. We need codependency to realize that the answer was always within us, that we are the leading source, the leading power. And in order for us to realize that, often we need the contrast of outsourcing that, of placing that outside of ourselves and going, oh, it doesn't matter how much information I seek, it doesn't align with myself. It doesn't matter how many strategies I apply. It doesn't matter how much I force, how many shoulds or have to's I play into, I still feel misaligned. And that gives us the contrast to question, maybe it was within me all along. Maybe there's nothing to fix, nothing to change, nothing outside of myself, you know? And then from that space, we actually elevate into, ooh, okay, if I'm the ultimate source of power, so is everyone else. So I can utilize the things from others that are deeply aligned to elevate into more alignment, instead of that hyper independence of like, I'm good, I'm God, I've got it, right? It's that elevation together, which moves us through that city.
So what is the advice or the attuning words that you would have for someone listening right now saying, okay, but I should and I have to do this and that. How do we start to, is it setting boundaries? Is it value? How do we start to value our energy and live in alignment with it? What are the little steps and the steps that can be taken right now?
Totally. So I would say, and part of the way I teach human design is very combined with energetics, right? And so there's a lot of energetic frequencies that I combine. And one of those things is that if a desire is being called through me, it's meant for me, right? Because a lot of times when we have a desire born within us, we go, okay, what do I need to do? A plus B plus C, Newtonian physics, right? And when we really understand that all of our desires are called through us because they're meant for us, we get to take a deep breath and go, oh, okay, so this thing that I'm desiring, I don't need to know exactly how, I don't need to know exactly when, and I do get to know that there is a powerful universal source backing me and desiring this. It's not the energy of got to prove myself, got to make it happen. It's the energy, oh, this desire was born through me because it's meant for me, which means that every single thing that I am experiencing right now and every single thing that I am experiencing up until the point of the fruition of that desire is actually a gift preparing me for the frequency of being able to hold that, being in the energy of that just being a natural, innate state for me, right? Mm-hmm. And so if there's a lot of shoulds and have tos, it's really recognizing that, hey, your desires are called through you because they're meant for you. And anytime there's a lot of shoulds and have tos, I always point it back to the energy of desire, because if you're shoulding and having to on yourself, you're collapsing your aura. Doesn't matter what human design type you are. So what you want to start to do is to bring yourself into deep presence, because body intelligence exists now. Mind intelligence exists in the past and the future. Mm-hmm. Right? And the past and the future are always going, well, am I going to be safe in the future? Am I going to have enough money in the future? Is this thing going to work out? And it's like, are you there yet? No. So why not be here and now? The only point where you can actually attune your frequency, the only point where you can actually be in deep alignment. And so that's another piece that I would say is start to do the present work where you are actually in tune with your authority. Your authority is going to speak in the now, even if you're an emotional authority. When are you feeling into that? Now, and now, and now, and now. And so being in tune with that authority and learning to trust that authority is going to pull you out of the mental and egoic concept of trying to protect yourself for a future moment. You're not there yet. Why bring the fear of the future into now and play into the mind when your authority exists here and now?
I love talking about presence work. And I mean, that's also everything. That's the whole reason we're here. Right? And we are the unique beings who are fantastically talented with that's a part of our veil of illusion, is that we somehow can spend time, you know, a lot measurably more time outside of the present moment, when the only thing that exists is the present moment. And the only way the future exists is in the present moment. You know what I mean? Like, it's
totally
quantum reality. And sometimes when I talk about that, I think sometimes when we're non-present, presence work feels so ephemeral. Like, I don't even know how to, I don't get it. So let's talk about presence work. What do you advise, or what is your coaching on how we can work on being present?
So a big piece of presence work I found is really deeply related to safety, right? Because a lot of the reasons why we take ourselves out of the present moment is because of fear of the future, right? Fear of not being safe, fear of what's happened in the past and projecting that onto the future. And so when I talk about presence work, a lot of the times it is that hand on heart, hand on stomach, I'm safe right now. Right? And not bringing that future fear of what could happen into the now moment. And when we really start to practice this and really start to bring ourselves to our actual physical senses of like, what am I seeing right now? What am I hearing? What am I tasting? What am I smelling? What am I touching? Am I safe right now? And really anchoring into the feeling of safety, not the mental concept of safety, but the feeling of safety right now. Like, I've got a roof over my head. I've been able to afford my groceries. Like, this is incredible, right? Then we're able to really bring in that deeper alignment of like, what is my body communicating to me right now, right? And so that's going to be a big piece, is really tuning into what is being called through me right now? What is the pulse of this now moment? And asking source, what is this moment for? Right? Mm-hmm. After you do the safety work, you're really able to tune into that piece.
That's really fantastic advice. And it can be challenging to get very present, but it is an absolute presence in this exact very now, because the mind will fight us sometimes and say, if we say, oh, I've been able to afford my groceries, but what about tomorrow? Yeah. You know, so we have to really be, you know, dig our heels in order to come really present. And it is, totally. It's the magic of life.
It really is. And it's a practice. And that's something we get to allow, is instead of the energy of like, oh, I'm not present, and like hitting ourselves on the wrist, it's like the energy of like, oh, I've noticed in this moment that I'm not present. That in and of itself is a moment of presence. And so we get to allow ourselves to practice and oscillate between noticing when we're not present and getting back into that deeper presence. And it is something that gets easier, it is something that gets more natural. But yeah, our mind is going to fight us at first. It's like, okay, but like, what if we're not safe for the next year? What if we're not safe for the next 10 years? What if this happens? What if this happens? It's like, whoa, here and now. Like, if that were to happen, and this is another thing that I really love to anchor in with my clients, is like, if that were to happen, you'd handle it. You'd be okay. You've always been okay. Mm-hmm. And so future you says you've got it. That's something I always repeat to myself. I'm like, future Christy says you're fine. Future Christy says you've got it. And if you know you can handle anything, don't play in the fear. Don't play there. Play here and now, where you can actually attune your frequency, be in alignment, move with your authority, and have your aura expanded to call in the inspiration, the intuition, the opportunities. Because here's the thing, all of those things exist in the now moment. We're not playing for some future moment. Inspiration lives here and now. Intuition lives here and now. Or alignment lives here and now.
Yes, alignment is here and now. I want to play a little, almost like a little game. And what do you love about the types? So what do you love about, you know, and obviously we're being anecdotal and sort of very generalized, but what do you love about, let's say, projectors? What do you love about the projector type?
I honestly love projectors. They're actually my favorite human design type to work
with. Well, you picked one and so did I. So, you know.
Yeah, I know, totally. Something I love about projectors is there's a talk about in the industry about how projectors are like afraid of being seen and afraid of going all in. And something that I really love about projectors is how they are so deeply and innately meant for success, because that is their alignment theme. And watching them not go all in on their success because of fear of failure is the core reason why a lot of projectors play small. And I just see so much greatness in projectors because their alignment theme is success, that they are literally here leading a new paradigm. I think they're so, so special. Not that I don't think all the human design types are special, but that's something I really love about projectors.
You know what? I have like analyzed the Matrix, the characters of the Matrix. And so this is what I think. I think Neo is a projector.
It has to be.
Keanu Reeves is a projector.
Yes.
Trinity, I think she is a manifesting generator.
Yeah.
Morpheus, the Lawrence Fishburne character.
Manifester.
Of course, he initiated. Yeah. And then the Oracle is a reflector.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, lots of other manifesting generators and generators all mixed in there. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I see that so, so deeply. And projectors, they're in the process. They're in the systems, and they are so good at seeing other people. They're so good at seeing what's working, what's not working. Like it's such a specialty of theirs.
And I remember the moments because I've been with my husband for 18 years. And so I remember these moments. Now I know those were projector wisdom moments, like just cutting through my bullshit, cutting through my misalignment. And just like one of the times, it was very early on, and I was having a really rough day because I was a server, and some older women had been very nasty to me at lunch. Mm-hmm. And that was my story, at least. And I was complaining to him and saying, I just can't do it anymore. And he just came at me and he said, but we need you. I was like, my heart melted, meaning like I clearly meant something very existential, and as I can't do it anymore. It wasn't just like, I can't do this job anymore. There was something deeper to it, and he spoke more deeply to it. But we need you.
Yes.
The universal we. I know. And I'm like,
chills.
All right, we're getting married.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. He sensed your true meaning. He sensed that just, tiredness. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, we need you.
I was so disappointed. You know what I mean? I was such a disappointed reflector. And he's like, yeah, we need you. We need your surprise.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. They see so, so clearly.
Mm-hmm. And also the focus, and it was like he was penetrating my aura and like just put that in there. So it's magical, wow. Magical. So what do you love about generators?
Oh my gosh, generators. The thing I love about generators, honestly, that I think is a little bit funny is I work with a lot of generators, and every single time they come to me and they're like, Christy, I'm done. I'm taking a break. I'm stepping back. This is my line in the sand. I don't care if I make less money. I don't care if it's less. I'm feeling tired. I'm ready to just lean back. Every single time they lean back, their business explodes. It's happened for them. And it's such a joke in my world. It's like whenever a generator comes to me and they're like, I'm ready to lean back, I'm like, finally, your world is about to pop, because their magic, it really is found in the moments where they're not trying. Their expansion is so, so natural. And when they're in their gifts and they're just not worrying about things and they're flowing and they're allowing life to love them, things just pop for them. So it's never that they're taking a break from their business. They're taking a break from the pressure for shoulds and have tos. And then things just pop in their reality and they're making money and calling in clients. And I'm like, yeah, this is how it works. Take notes next time you're afraid to pull back.
Yeah, because they need to, when they feel frustrated, that's just, that can be just a symptom of being at a plateau and essentially waiting for the next, not the next, but the next thing to respond to show up, right? That's totally. Basically it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and something for in general for manifesting generators and generators that I've really integrated within my work is I do not like the concept of a lull. And a lot of people talk about these generator and manifesting generator lulls of like, hey, you're going to go through really good periods where things are popping off and then you're going to slow down and it's going to feel like nothing's popping off. And what I've really seen is this projection of a label onto that popping off and that hard work time being really good, and this projection of rest and the integration period as being bad. And so what I've worked with my clients to do is to actually transcend the idea of a lull and go back to the pulse of the moment, to go back to deep presence, because in that energy, you're not attaching to a certain state being good or bad. You're just in flow with what's exactly being called through you. And so in those moments, integration gets to be a period of time, but it's here and now, here and now, here and now. And so that's been something that's been really, really beautiful for them to look into, is transcending the idea of a lull and tuning into the pulse of the moment, which keeps them from freaking out in the moments of integration, right?
Oh my gosh, that's so synchronistic, because I have a client and that we were in, we were actually working in person here in my studio. And that was something that came through. It was a channeled message for her, was to be in the pulse, the universal pulse. And she's a manifesting generator, but yeah, that. And she said she started walking around during her day. If she felt stressed or frustrated, or, you know, freaked out, she'd just be like,
yeah, I love that so, so much. And yeah, exactly. From that space, we don't project a label onto the lull as being bad. And what happens if we're in a state where we label it as bad? We add resistance onto that moment. When we're in resistance to the moment, when we're in resistance to who we're being, we're energetically saying yes to a no, right? Mm. We're saying yes to the energy of rejection to self. That's a no. That's going to collapse your aura. And so that's why I see so many gens and mani gens actually extend the quote unquote lull. Don't love that wording, but for this instance, it works, because they're in resistance to it. And it's like a lull, quote unquote, could be 5 minutes. It could be 6 minutes. Like the pulse, the idea that your light up has up and left, that's not true. Pulse of the moment, what's being called through you right now? Because in the next moment, you could be inspired and ready to go, but now is rest. How can we love this moment just as much as the next, no matter how it looks?
Mm. And so manifesting generators, it's kind of a part of that, but what do you love about the manifesting generators, the subset of generators though? But yeah.
Oh my goodness. Being a mani gen, I just love, and this is something that I've seen, is like just this energy of when a mani gen is grounded, because there can be a lot of ungroundedness within mani gens and this kind of skip steps energy and then having to go back and correct things. But a grounded mani gen feels good, solid, lit up, and skips so many steps. And it just blows everyone's minds. Like, that's something that I've seen consistently is like, you just like are playing. And when you bring that play, that fun, that light, you just skip all the steps. And you're like, I don't even know how that happens. Like, it's crazy the level of magnetism that a mani gen can tap into when they're not trying to make things happen. And they're moving from like completely ungrounded energy of like franticness, right? It's that grounded, just like fun and play and knowingness and this flirting that with life, the knowingness it's going to happen. And then all of a sudden they're like, yeah, did I just double my income from last month? Like that kind of energy, you know, it's so magnetic.
Because there's a difference. It's just the quality. It's kind of like everything comes down to fear or love about skipping steps because you're panicking and jumping across them and or quantum leaping. And the universe says, no worries, keep going, keep going. They're like waving you into a home run. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, exactly. And I have been, I have been that Manny Jen who's like skipping steps and trying to be the most effective and most efficient in the moment and literally teaching while cooking and burning things and just like, you know, making the mistakes, sending emails without fully reading the thing and then having to like, I can skip steps from an ungrounded space of trying to get it over with. That never ends well for Christy. But when I'm in that Manny Jen, like grounded energy of like, my desires are inevitable. They're being called through me because they're meant for me. I don't need to worry about this. Let's play. Let's be in the fun. Let's be in the flirting. That's when I'm like, wow, how did that just happen? Quantum leap energy.
Yes. Yes, that's great. That's powerful. Now we are at manifestors. Oh, I love manifestors. Yeah. I mean, I love them all. But I was just talking about to my friend who's a projector about our other friend who's a manifestor. And just love them so much. I'm actually going to lead one of the things that I love about them is they partner so hard with the universe that when something doesn't go right or they, you know, they're perceiving that they're stopped in their creative flow, that they can, in this, God bless, I don't mean this to be rude, but they almost can have like a manifestor fit because they feel betrayed by the universe and they're like, let me tell you, never again. You know, but it's just because that all that energy, that creative energy needs to, you know, move because they got stopped in their flow. But it's so hot. I've seen it with a few manifestors and one of them who is so sweet. It's like the sweetest little fit ever because she's so kind and generous, yeah, like really trying to take care of herself. But I'm like, honey, I know that's just today. You're going to be today. It's like my sister, it reminds me of my sister was really mad at our, you know, she got mad because she couldn't get something and she was 12 and she proclaimed, well, fine, we'll just skip my birthday, and slammed the door. And so for years, everyone was teasing her that she never turned 13. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, you know, a manifestor fit. Anyway, go ahead. I'm going to let you go. What do you love about manifestors?
I know so well about manifestors fits because one of my best friends, her son is a manifestor. Mm-hmm. And he knows exactly what he wants. He does not need any parents. He does not need anything. And he just thinks that he is ruler of the world and he will throw his little manifestor fits. And it's like, it's challenging to parent one because they just so feel like they don't need anything, right? And so it's this really beautiful guiding that comes in. But something that I've seen that I really love about manifestors is there just seems to always be this clicking point for them where they used to play in this, because a lot of manifestors, they know this power, they know this ability that comes through them, and they've seen how people have reacted to that, right? They've seen that, oh, people think I'm too much. People feel my power and they're like, they back away. And so what happens is a lot of manifestors play really small and they project smallness through their aura. And the thing I love the most about manifestors is they always come to this clicking point where they understand that they cannot be too big and that the right people will always stick by their sides. And this energy of playing small was playing small for the wrong people. And that the right people are on the train with them. And so when a manifestor steps into that power, they hop into the driver's seat of their train and they're like, let's go. I'm going. And they trust that the right people are on that train with them. And they stop paying attention to all the people who could not be on that train. And that moment of power for them, in terms of their manifestational power, in terms of what they can create once they've clicked into that, it blows my mind every single time.
I love, yes, they are so powerful. And well, manifesting generators have the being too big for being too much problem as well. And that has a lot to do with also having the, you know, the great powerful energy. Do you have the 3420 channel by any chance?
I do.
I could tell. I could feel that.
Absolutely.
I love it. It's like such an extra quality. You know what I mean? Like, not just the having the throat to a motor to, you know, going to the sacral indirectly, but going that way is like, anyway, back to manifestors. I love that. That's so beautiful there because they have, as I said, to clarify when I'm saying a manifestor fit, I find it so beautiful because they have a divine entitlement. And I think that's amazing. And they does it's appropriate to be entitled that way. And it's so cool because I'm over here like a reflector being tossed around in the wind. Like, and I'm like, how do you just get, you know what I mean? Like, it's so opposite, but it's so beautiful. And I love when my manifestors initiate me, come to me with something, and they come to it from themselves. And they know that the thing that they want, like you're saying, the desire has chosen them. And so they are initiating it in another. And it is, it's just, it's beautiful. It's like God touching a flower and asking it to open. That's what their energy feels like to me sometimes when they, are in it.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. The way you worded that, I'm like, yes, that it's exactly what it is.
Mm. Okay. So we are, we're with reflectors. Of course, that's I forgot right. Reflectors. I'm like, did we finish the types? Because this one doesn't exist. I'm a reflector, everyone, in case you didn't know. So have you ever worked with a reflector? I mean, some people have.
I have worked with reflectors one-on-one. And, you know, you guys are very, very unique, obviously. Like when it comes to a reflector, it's really about looking at deeper than just like defined and undefined, because you guys are completely undefined, right? And so it's looking at like your profile and some of those specific channels that you have,
or not gates. Channels.
Gates.
Gates, yeah.
Yep.
Exactly.
So some of those specific gates that you have, and really diving into like your incarnation cross and things like that. But the thing that I love about reflectors is just your ability to tap into light because of how much contrast you've experienced, because here's the thing, your guys' energy systems are so, 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 so sensitive. And so you experience the deepest pain, you experience the deepest contrast, you experience the deepest disappointment when it comes to not only yourselves, but within humanity. You're like the oracle, right? And because you've experienced that opposite end, the duality of that is such a beautiful light. And every single reflector I have met, talked to, coached has tapped into or is in the process of tapping into that really beautiful lightness, where they bring such a just a light, beautiful energy to everything that feels heavy, to everything that feels confusing. And they really are just this light lighthouse for people to tune into because they've experienced that duality. And that light is so pure because it is based on experiencing the opposite. It's based on experiencing that contrast. And when they bring that lightness into their flirtation process with the universe, and they bring that surprise into prior to the manifestation, feeling that level of surprise of like how lucky they are to be alive, how lucky they are to feel the sun on their skin, they're tapped into that magic so deeply. And that light spreads to other people. Like I've seen such deep magnetism from reflectors and deep alignment. And it's just like fun, light, flirt, celebration, surprise energy. And the universe is just like, oh my God, so ready to gift you when you're in that energy.
Thank you for that. Yeah. My husband, as I introduced him to human design, and he still does every time he looks at my chart, because it's all white, it makes him crack up. When we mentioned that my signature is surprise, makes it, what, I'm like a clown? Like, what?
Yeah.
My whole purpose is to be surprise. It's funny. I like it.
It's like the opposite of that, I would say. It's just this energy of like, it's like the energy of the universe is constantly trying to throw you a surprise party, right? Mm-hmm. And when reflectors are in the energy of like, oh my God, but who's going to be there? When's my surprise party going to be? Like all of the, like, I don't even know if I'm going to feel good when I get to my surprise party. That's when they kind of are in that collapsed aura state. Yeah. But when they're like, the universe is constantly trying to love me, constantly trying to serenade me, constantly trying to surprise me. It's that energy of just like deep anticipation and fun and gratitude in every single moment.
Right. It's appreciation is a good, it's like there is surprise. If I'm not connecting with surprise, first of all, that's okay. You know what I mean? It's like totally okay for us to be in shadow band frequencies.
It totally is.
It's resourceful. We need it. Yeah. However, if I'm ready to move out of it, there is surprise somewhere here. And it's easy for me to pick up a leaf and have my mind blown. You know what I mean? Like just to look at anything and be surprised by it. So
yeah,
it's available to us.
I love that so, so much because there's such simplicity and surprise. Like the fact that I'm breathing, how surprising is that? That's like incredible when you tune into it, and you guys can tune into that so, so powerfully.
Well, this has been amazing. And I want to make sure that we get some details about what you're doing right now, what your work is, how people work with you, how you help your clients, what kind of offers and different programs and services that you have going on.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love this so, so much. So I am about to launch my podcast, which I'm very, very, very excited about. We'll have to have you on. That would be incredible. But yeah, there's a lot of different ways that people can come play in my world. Definitely follow me on Instagram at Christy Avis. Be aware because there are some imposter accounts right now copying my account. So it's Christy Avis. Watch out for extra eyes. That is not me.
But or an underscore or something. Yeah,
watch out for those things because it is happening. But I also have a free Facebook group, Aligned Ascension for Spiritual Entrepreneurs, where you can join that. And there's a ton of free trainings you can tap into. And in terms of offerings, I have a lot of different offerings. My signature offer is the Six-Figure Aligned Ascension Academy, where we tap business owners into six figures through the trifecta of human design, energetics, and strategy. It is such a magical place. And other than that, I am taking on one-on-one clients, and I have masterminds for different human design types, different ways to come play. And then I also have my signature course Authority that is for all human design types, all authorities, that just taps you deeper into exactly what we were talking about here, that pulse of the moment, that deep trust, moving from the mind-led paradigm into the body and emotional intelligence-led paradigm, where you are constantly in an expanded aura place, moving from that deeper alignment instead of playing in the fears of the past and the future.
Wow. Amazing. And so the one-on-one sessions you're doing readings, you're doing the chart readings?
Actually don't do chart readings. I used to do chart readings, but I found that what happens is there's an over-intellectualization of human design. And so what I've found is I do chart readings for like my one-on-one clients when they come into my world, if that's something that they add on. But other than that, it's mostly through my program work. So I do have programs for projectors, gens and mani gens, and there are more programs coming for manifestors and reflectors and things like that in the future. So yay!
Awesome. That's beautiful. I love it. Well, Christy, this has been, I'm just sopping up all of your energy. And you have extra, so you know what I mean?
I totally do. Feel free.
And I seriously got healed from a fatigue burnout by just hanging out with my manifesting generator with a 3420 channel.
Totally.
And I didn't say anything the whole time. I was just listening to him. We were catching up, which meant I was listening to him, which was fine. The next day, I was like, I'm on top of the world. I just got a vitamin B shot into my soul because I had been in like some fatigue again. I think maybe it was COVID related, but he healed me by just being near him. So I'm just saying, I feel like I've gotten some of that from you. I hope everyone else who's listened has gotten that too. You're such a light. Everyone do please follow Christy on Instagram. That's how I found her. I just like you got suggested, you know what I mean? And I was like, I was digging it. So I'm really glad that you came on.
Thank you. That means the entire world to me. I'm so, so glad that you found me and so, so happy and honored to be on your podcast.
How fun, inspiring, energizing, and well, I'll guess I'll throw in there amplifying. Because I brought the amplification for sure, since I'm a reflector and that's my whole deal. How fun was that conversation? I felt it so deeply, and I hope that you received it as well. This might be one you want to come back to and take some notes. There was a lot of wisdom, a lot of coaching, a lot of benefit that came through Christy for sure. So I also want to be sure to make an invitation to you to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already, or follow it, whatever your podcast app says. I also want to invite you to my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Trisha Carr. And I'm dropping clip shows from the podcast, and I am also creating videos, teaching and attuning. And I'm very, very proud of the direction that the YouTube channel is moving in. It's content, for the most part, that is different than what is on this podcast, even though I do post some of the clip shows from this podcast. But that's fun too, because then you get to see the eyes, you get to see the light of the guest as well, as hear their light through their voice. And so check out the YouTube channel and also Instagram at Trisha Carr Charm. And that's just charm, not charmed, charm. And also, I want to make an invitation to you to join my newsletter, because I have a few things. My signature program right now is my Mind Body Ascension Accelerator. This is a group coaching to blast open your purpose, to put it in an accelerated momentum, and to do deep healing work. And I accomplish this with my unique design as a reflector, to be able to channel and create a resonant quantum container composed of the highest light of all of those present. And then in that container, there is deep and profound healing. I also do it with my skills as a hypnotherapist, hypnohealing, energy healing, and channeling. Most of everything that I do is channeling, because that is the direct source to what it is that we desire, need, and require for our ascension and our healing and all of the different parts of the way that we are becoming more and more ourselves. I also have a brand new program that is possibly, depending on when this is delivered, about to be opened for registration, and it is called Easy Intuition. And this is more of a mid-level program, but it is a four-month container of being able to connect with both your spiritual and meditation practice in a way that is easy, thereby also creating healing for yourself, thereby also creating an easy intuitive connection in your life. Easy, everyday, consistent connection to your intuition, the voice of the universe moving to and through you. So stay tuned for that. And then I am also about to launch my animal communication program. Ooh, love it. This is, my soul is thirsting for this, to be with you in this learning experience, in this attuning to the frequency of being telepathically in communication, evidentially with animals and nature, but with animals primarily. So again, those are going to be announced very soon. So the best thing to do is to join the newsletter, which you'll find in the description of this episode. And so that's what I have for you today. I appreciate you so much. I thank you for being here. I love your light. It makes me glow from the inside out. And thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.